Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Healthy Pinoy. This March is Endometriosis Awareness Month, and with us on SBS Filipino's Healthy Pinoy is Joy Eden. Joy is a writer, wellness podcast host, and an endometriosis survivor who struggled with the disease for almost 20 years. And today, she is coming forward to share her story and how she has overcome the condition, raise awareness, and help other women who are suffering from the said condition. Good morning, Joy. Thanks for your time.
Hi, everyone. Good morning.
Joy, based on the statistics of Endometriosis Australia, endometriosis affects 1 in 9 women, and sadly, you are one of the 9 who suffer the disease. So, could you quickly share your personal story? How did you know that you had endometriosis? What were the symptoms you experienced? And was there an available treatment for you at that time?
Oh, it's a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. Mm-hmm. It's just something that I've been, battling, trying to manage for over 20 years. When I was young, so endometriosis, for those who don't know, is occurs when lining similar to what occurs in your uterus grows in different parts of the body, and often it comes across, like, you notice it because you have very painful periods, or you might skip periods, or you just have a lot of issues when it comes to menstruation. And I think a lot of people know that, you know, that's a pretty sensitive topic. It's usually a very private topic. Mm. Definitely when I was growing up, my experience, even though I grew up in a household full of women, you know, I've got 4 older sisters, it wasn't really something that we talked about a lot. And so when I had painful periods, even in high school, everyone just kind of said, oh, you know, that's normal. Take ibuprofen, take painkillers, you know, and just get on with life. And it wasn't really until I was at university and I could really feel that it was affecting my ability to study. Every time I got my period, you know, I was in debilitating pain. I got really bad cramps. There were some times when I just couldn't get out of bed. My bleeding was really heavy. And I thought, you know, is this really normal? Like, is this what everyone goes through? And when I went to the doctor the first time, the GP just said to me, look, it is, you know, period pain is really common. If you want to manage it, you know, we can put you on the pill, the contraceptive pill. And at the time, I wasn't really comfortable with that. You know, I wasn't sexually active at the time. I knew that there were other risks involved with taking the pill. It would affect other things with my hormones. And so I asked, you know, is there another way to treat this? You know, is that actually going to fix what's happening with my body? And he said, look, it might be endometriosis, but the only way we can really confirm that is through surgery. And if you're willing to have the surgery, yes, you know, we'll be able to treat it. But if you're not, then, you know, you're just going to have to deal with it. And I got the same kind of response every single time I went to a GP with you know, challenges with my period. And it took a really long time to finally find a GP who told me, you know, you don't have to take the pill, or you don't have to just put up with it. There are other ways that you might want to manage it. And I kind of just dealt with it until I was in my mid-30s. By that point, I'd had 2 children. I'm very lucky to have had 2 children, because most women who have endometriosis struggle with their fertility. Mm. But by that point, I'd had my period. I had just gone into a meeting with a client, and I felt very lightheaded. And I stood up from the meeting, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to get in a cab. I'm going to go home and work from home. And I got to Central Station in Sydney, and I almost passed out, and I went to the bathroom, and I had bled through so many of my clothes. Mm. I had to change my underwear. Lucky I had a change of clothes with me. And I messaged my sisters to tell them, oh, you know, this isn't great. And, you know, one of them said, are you sure you're okay to catch the train? And I had just thought to myself, isn't this what everyone does? Like, and I finally was talking to another friend, and she said, I think you really need to see a different doctor and talk to them about, because that's not safe, that's not normal. And at that point, I realized this isn't sustainable. Like, if I'm bleeding so much, and if I'm so weak that I'm almost passing out in public, or, you know, in the middle of a work day, like, that's not sustainable. So luckily, I did find an amazing doctor who was willing to, you know, help me figure out what was going on with my body. I did eventually get surgery, but it took 2 decades to get there. And it was really challenging in that time. So I was quite lucky in that I had other women who happened to be Catholic who had found a GP in Western Sydney who was committed to, I guess, non-hormonal or non-invasive forms of managing health. I think a lot of GPs, especially those who, you know, may have different training, just kind of give the pill as a almost like the first point of call, because it's easy, because a lot of women are happy to take the pill. But the problem with the pill is it often masks the symptoms. It doesn't actually treat endometriosis.
Yeah.
And so women can take the pill, but once they come off the pill, say if they want to have a baby, then all of the symptoms come back. And so one of my friends recommended a doctor in Western Sydney who had helped her with natural fertility. Mm-hmm. And she said, look, she's if you tell her that you don't want to take the pill, she's really open to that. And she will help you find other ways to manage your symptoms. And so when I spoke to her, she understood straight away. She didn't try to tell me, oh, you know, that's the only option. She said, look, if you're not comfortable with this, let's find other medication. I tried other medication, which unfortunately gave me really bad headaches. And so she said, okay, well, that's no good. So let's see if we can get you into surgery. And, you know, for some women, ongoing management is going to require things like the pill or other medication. Yeah. But the good thing was finding a doctor who was willing to forego that first and help me find out what was actually wrong.
And what was the treatment that worked for you?
So for me, I did need laparoscopy, which is just a small keyhole surgery. I was just in the hospital for one day. It took a couple of weeks to fully recover and feel normal again, but it was quite minor surgery. I was told in my early 20s that, you know, any surgery is going to have, you know, even a minor risk when it comes to having children in the future. So I opted to wait until then. But for some women, the pain is so, like, you just cannot handle it that, you know, surgery is actually the best option. And it was minor. They discovered endometriosis. They removed it. And now it's just a matter of me trying to manage my diet, for example, exercise and things that might flare up the endometriosis so it avoids coming back. The challenge with endometriosis is the symptoms differ from women to women. Like, this is a chronic condition. It usually appears when someone's menstruating, but someone could have endometriosis and you might never know. And it may be because they don't get the same level of pain, or it may be that, you know, they've just learned to manage the pain.
True.
Definitely for me, I was just told, well, pain is normal. And so when I experienced pain and was, you know, in bed for days whenever I had my period, I would think to myself, am I just weak? Like, am I just not managing this? And is everybody else able to do this? And I'm the only one struggling. And it took a really long time for me to find a doctor who understood how much this was affecting my lifestyle. Most women menstruate at some point in their life. And so if we're always told, oh, this is just part and parcel of what you have to deal with as a woman, you don't think to go and get treatment. And that's partly why it takes 7 to 12 years for women to get diagnosed with endometriosis. And a lot of the time it's not until they start wanting to try for a family that they ever really think about understanding the reproductive system, really understanding how it works. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about talking about it and, I guess, normalizing those conversations around periods, because, you know, it's a normal thing that most women will go through at some point in their life. You know, it starts when we're teens, but we're kind of told to be ashamed of it. We're told to, you know, just put up with it. But the more we talk to our friends about it, the more we can be comfortable about it, then we can really start to think about how we can proactively make sure that we're actually healthy and well.
I think you've answered my next question, because I was going to ask how we can address the lack of information and education about period cycle and endometriosis. So we need to talk about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And yes. I think also it's okay to question a doctor who might give you a really offhanded or, you know, set response. So a lot of doctors will, you know, when a young woman comes to them with period pain, you know, if normal painkillers don't work, they will tell, you know, they will offer the pill, because it is one of those things that's easy to, you know, easy to prescribe. A lot of women are happy to take it. Where I think it's important for young women in particular to know that doesn't cure your endometriosis. It masks the symptoms. And so if you're not comfortable with that kind of treatment, to speak up and actually say, well, I don't actually want to take that. In addition to talking more openly about menstruation, making that a normal part of, you know, how we talk about our bodies and really getting comfortable with it, we also need to be a bit comfortable with, you know, asking our doctors for better treatment and knowing what other options are available for us.
And in your case, Joy, did you get to find out the cause of endo?
No. So there is no study at the moment that can confirm why it happens to women. We know that it happens to, as you said, you know, 1 in 9, 1 in 10 women in Australia. And so, unfortunately, it is one of those diseases that it can just appear, and you might just be one of those unlucky ones who do need, you know, treatment, help, support. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping as more and more organizations, businesses are starting to, you know, really support women in other ways, like with, when it comes to fertility, you know, payments or fertility support in the workplace.
And finally, what's your encouragement to women out there who are battling the same condition?
Oh, speak up, you know, really find within your friends, within your network, to people who you can talk to about what you're going through. I guess the first thing I want those women to know is, first of all, you're not alone. If you are struggling when you get your period, and if you are physically affected and it's painful or it affects you in other ways, you don't have to continue struggling. You don't have to do it alone. Go to Endometriosis Australia, speak to a GP, and if your GP isn't understanding or isn't listening, then speak to another GP. Look for recommendations. There are some really amazing groups on social media that are really supportive, on Facebook and in other forums where, you know, women share their experiences, women share how challenging it is, and it's really nice to have people to journey with. And also it's nice to see the success stories of women being able to overcome it and manage it ongoing.
Ayan, maraming salamat, Joy Adan, sa pagbabahagi mo ng iyong kwento dito sa SBS Filipino Healthy Pinoy. At tandaan po natin ang mga impormasyon na ibinahagi ni Joy ay mga gabay lamang at para po sa mga karagdagang payo na naaayon sa inyong problema o sitwasyon. Mainam po na kumonsulta sa inyong GP o doktor tungkol sa mga usaping pangkalusugan. At lagi po nating tandaan na ang kalusugan ay kayamanan na dapat ingatan. Para sa Healthy Pinoy, ako si Claudette Centeno. Healthy Pinoy.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify o sa iba pang podcast apps.